Darshan HaTorah Shmuel Ben Yisrael V'Miriam.
Hallelujah. It's a joy to be here. And last week, Dawn and I were visiting with our son and his family in California. And then I went to the East Coast, to the Rabbi's Conference, where it was 79 degrees on Thursday. And they did something they've never done before. A lot of times, the afternoon, they don't have it filled in. They give us free time. This time, it was free time, but their budget must have been in better shape. They gave us mini golf tickets. So I feel spiritually deeply enriched by the fellowship. And then one other afternoon that was free time, there's a movie theater across the street. They gave us movie tickets for our free afternoon. So I have seen Rogue One. And I want you to know the Death Star is out again, so just be advised. You have to deal with that. So, amen. All right, so. But I did get a really lot of wonderful, good, serious, spiritual help and encouragement. I'll be sharing some of that with you. But before I go into that, I want to say that even though we had Paul Wilbur, we had Becky Shea, we had wonderful worship, our worship team and our dance team, it's unsurpassed. They're just amen. I just bless you guys. So I should have had this screen up earlier. If you want to follow the notes easily, you can download them or you can view them online. Just go to, this is the Wi-Fi we have, and that's the password to get on it, and go to orhalom.com and go to Downloads Messages 2017. I assume it's posted there by now. And then this only shows 2016, but click this way, and it should be 2017 there now. And then this message should be the only one for 2017. Now, before we forget about Hanukkah, I did this during announcements, and everybody's here. Then I want to thank all the people. That was just a really stellar, wonderful Hanukkah program we had. And some of you didn't know we had a flood going on at the time. And so, but despite that, it was just wonderful. And so I have a list here, but this is sort of just a stage list of Rachel and Kent, and Ted was the lighting man, and Mark, Mordechai, Hyatt, of course, and Steve, the music, and Becky and her children, and Sergio and Bernice, and Marissa and Bonnie, and others. There's many others. There's only a partial list. If you participate, and my wife, who did the shuk, ran the shuk, and ran the oneg, the mealtime, she needs a special, and she sort of supervised the flood management as well. Why don't you all stand? Just let's give all the, and everybody else who I didn't mention, but you participated in that program. We just want to appreciate your participation in it. Bless you. It's a wonderful team that we have here. Now, something else that I got back from the Rabbi's Conference about the new approved way of lighting Hanukkah candles. That's actually not from the Rabbi's Conference, but anyhow, it's from one of you. But that's, we have to work on our X-ray vision so we can do that. Now, a serious story, though, that I'd like to use to be the opening of the message is about this gentleman here, Rear Admiral James Stockdale, and he's in full dress whites as a Navy pilot would be, and he lived until from 1923, 2005, as you see his dates there. And so his story is a really amazing story that has application to us. He was a pilot of a Douglas A-4 Skyhawk. It's a Vietnam-era fighter. For those of you who like airplanes, I'll tell you some stuff you'll like. And those of you who think it's boring, just deal with it anyhow. But its top speed was over 670 miles an hour. Its hardpoint supported a variety of missiles and bombs and other munitions, so it could actually carry a bomb load equivalent to a B-17 in the Second World War, deliver nuclear weapons. It was a key plane in World War, in the Vietnam era. And here's a picture of the Skyhawk, the A4, taking off from the USS Lexington. And interestingly, Jan Fields Ruckel's husband used to be this guy here. You can barely see him, but he would be the flight deck supervisor, and it's one of the most dangerous jobs in the world, but he would wave the planes on and accelerate. So here's a picture of Stockdale exiting his A4 fighter bomber weeks before becoming a POW on the 9th of September, 1965, while he's flying off the U.S. Orange County on a mission, which is another aircraft carrier, on a mission over North Vietnam. He had to eject because his plane was struck by enemy fire, completely disabled. He parachuted into a small village where he was severely beaten and taken prisoner. And he was held as a prisoner of war in the Ho La prison, which became known as the Hanoi Hilton, for the next 7.5 years. As senior naval officer there, I don't think he was quite an admiral then, but he was a senior officer. He was a primary organizer of prisoner resistance, which he did in all kinds of subtle ways to keep the spirits of the guys up. He was tortured routinely, denied medical attention. Those two words should be deleted. I proof these things later, but anyhow. Stockdale created and enforced a code of conduct for all the prisoners. As senior officer, he could communicate secret communications and behaviors. In the summer of 69, he was 4 years a POW by then. He was locked in leg irons, a bath stall, routinely tortured and beaten. When he was told by his captors that he was to be paraded in public, he slit his scalp with a razor to disfigure himself so his captors could not use him for propaganda. When they covered his head with a hat, he beat himself with a stool until his face was swollen beyond recognition. When Stockdale was discovered with information that could implicate his friends, he slit his wrists so they could not torture him. Now, this is not the role model for the congregation, exactly. There's more to the story. But Stockdale was released as a prisoner of war on February 12, 73, during Operation Homecoming. His shoulders been wrenched from their sockets, his legs shattered by angry villagers and a torturer, and his back broken. On March 4th, he received the Congressional Medal of Honor. Here's a picture of Gerald Ford, President Gerald Ford, presenting the Medal of Honor to Stockdale at the White House on March 4th. So he was a real American hero that kept the spirits of his men up with him despite great tortures, and he had a very amazing career in academia relative to the military world. Now, the reason I'm telling that story is, knowing his heroism, he was interviewed in a book called Good to Great. Some of you might have read it. It's a business classic. And they asked him, the author asked him in the interview, how did you survive? And he said, this was the key to my survival. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining aspect of my life, event of my life, which in retrospect I would not trade. He never doubted. Now, you could say, is that a lesson in faith? Is that a role model for all of us? I think it is, and we'll build on this. He never doubted. He had real faith in what his cause was and what his future would be. Now, the interviewer went on to ask a question. I'm sorry, I was supposed to have that up. The interviewer went on to ask a question. Who didn't make it out of Vietnam? Stockdale replied, and here's it's called the Stockdale Paradox. Well, that's easy. The optimists didn't survive. They were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas, and Christmas would come, Christmas would go. Then they'd say, we're going to be out by Easter, and Easter would come, and Easter would go, and then they'd say the same about Thanksgiving, then Christmas again. They died of a broken heart. So Stockdale added, so this is a very important lesson. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail. You know, this gesture has gotten famous, hasn't it? You know who uses this all the time? Anyhow, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. Here's the lesson in a military hero, that he had faith in the face of reality, not glossing reality, not denying reality, but facing all the brutal, most brutal facts, as he puts it there, and his facts weren't really brutal. But facing that, he nevertheless didn't lose faith in what the future would be. So does this apply to Yeshua? Did he have a faith that he will prevail in the end despite the most brutal facts? Let's look at some of the prophecies about the Mashiach. In Isaiah, Yeshayahu, it says, I offered my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. For Adonai Elohim will help. This is why no insult can wound me. This is why I have set my face like a flint, knowing I will not be put to shame. So Yeshua had his face, or the prophecy was in Isaiah, Yeshayahu, that his face was set like a flint, and he would not be put to shame. And I'm going to get a tissue. I saw them down there, but these are closer. And if I bend over, I'll lose my tallit. See? That's, you got to know how to maneuver in this thing. So, okay. Anyhow. So it says he set his face like a flint, knowing he would not be put to shame. And in Luke, the story of his life, it says, now it came to pass when the time came for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go up to Jerusalem. He was determined to go up to Jerusalem. So we are exhorted, let us also get rid of every weight and entangling sin and run with endurance the race set before us, focusing on Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the execution on a stake as a criminal, disregarding its shame and its agony, because he also, of course, much superior to Stockdale, but similar in a sense, he has taken his seat at the right hand of God, overcoming all the shame. So we are exhorted to do similarly. We're exhorted to be like him. That's what the exhortation says. Let us get rid of every weight, every entanglement, and run with endurance the race set before us. Now, if you're going to run a race, there's a new movie out about the Boston Marathon. You know, if you're running a race, you have to know what the finish line is and where you're going. And that's what Stockdale was famous for, and that's what Yeshua, of course, exemplifies. So what we want to do is do a little examination of where are our faces set? Where should they be set? What is our faith that will prevail in the end despite the most brutal facts or the most discouraging facts? And to expand on that, what I want to ask is, what is the congregational vision of Or HaOlam? Why are we here? Now, when I say vision, this is something that was emphasized at the conference. Robert Solomon coined this, and I think he said it, well, not in this building, but many years ago when he was in the other building. He says, it's not the not visions. You can't really have many visions in the congregation. If you have many visions, you end up with division. You have to have a unified vision. Sometimes people of slightly different visions can work together for a while. There can be a synergy in mentoring, but ultimately there's one vision that determines how a body will run. So the question to examine is, why are we here? Where are we going? Or trying to go. Not that we're necessarily getting there all that quickly, but what is the call on us as a people? And what is our call individually? Hopefully within the call on the congregation, there's an individual call on each of you. It's a gifting and a calling and a work for you to do. And it's time to take an assessment. It's important this time of year to take inventory. The end of every year, businesses used to close for several days for an inventory. Now, it may all be computerized now, but they still got to go around and actually count the stuff on the shelves if they have inventory. And we need to count. My father had a business. This was his catalog. He sold tools and supplies, everything that you need to make, manufacture jewelry. So plating and buffing and brushes and files and all that kind of stuff. You're familiar with Timex watch. Timex watches used to be in watch cases made by IB watch case, ID watch case, and that was one of his customers. Anyhow, there's a picture of his catalog there, that's the back of his catalog, and there's some kid that's advertising one of his products there. That's me, actually. So, and he called the place Abbey Materials, because he said, I'm a Wokenfeld. I'm so tired of being at the end of the alphabet. So ABBEY, you know, back in the days of phone books, that was the first listing in the phone book. Except when I came to faith in Yeshua, he said, maybe having this picture of this church, this monastery, has wrecked our son, and that's what led him to faith. So for some years, they actually destroyed, they took the logo out of their literature, and they had the Abbey without the Abbey, but that was kind of dumb, so they put it back after a while. But anyhow, every year when I was a teenager and on, I would get employed, it was fine, but we would spend days and days counting every tweezer, file, and buffing wheel, machine, chemical, everything in the building, because he had to know how much inventory. And so we needed, this is the beginning of the year, it's the secular year, the calendar year, commercial calendar year, but it's good to take inventory of who we are and where we are going. So to look at this slide again, where are our faces set? Faith that will prevail in the end, despite the most brutal facts. What is our congregational vision? So these are already looked at. Okay, so here is the vision that I have defined. Actually, we need to, it's a little bit different on the website. I need to update that. I've reworked it from the first wording I had of it. But this is the congregational vision we talk about from time to time, and it is in our bulletin. That is, it's working to bring Jewish people and those grafted in to their covenantal identity in Messiah. Working to bring Jewish people and those grafted into their covenantal identity in Messiah. And that might sound a little obscure, but it means a number of things. By covenantal identity, it first of all implies salvation. That is, we need to bring men, women, Jews, and people of all nations to the atonement of the Messiah. Personal faith in the atoning death, resurrection of Yeshua. It's all about the King. This is where my face is set. I want to make sure I have His salvation in my life, and His holiness, His character, His attitudes, His conduct in my spirit. Is that where all of our hearts are set? Are we 100% examining our hearts to walk with the power of the resurrection of Yeshua in our lives? Is that your purpose for 2017? Amen? Anybody agree with that? Yes? Amen. Okay, now it's not just a cerebral affirmation of these things either. It says in the book that was specifically written to Messianic Jews, Hebrews, we have this hope as an anchor of the soul, both firm and steady, a hope that enters the inner place behind the curtain. Yeshua has entered there as a forerunner on our behalf, having become the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So Yeshua is the high priest. Now the stuff we have, and all synagogues have, is their artwork, their ceremonial artwork, the Aron, which we have the Torah scrolls in there, is symbolic or reminiscent of the Aron, the Ark, in the Holy of Holies that was in the temples and the tabernacles before that, in which the Ten Commandments and a few other things were kept. That was the holy place, and God's fire, flame, was above it. And we have this symbol, this Ner Tamid, a fire on the altar, all these things, because these are pictures of us receiving the powerful transforming help from Adonai, the transforming inner deliverance, inner transformation. So it says in chapter 7 of this same book, it says, therefore, He is able to save completely those who draw near to God through Him, always living to make intercession for them. So I just need to present this to all of us. Of course, if you're here, your hearts are likely, probably, deeply engaged in the things of the Ruach, but we never know. And it's so important for all of us to take inventory. Maybe there are besetting sins that afflict you in your life, of anger and secret lusts and pornographic viewing. And this is a time, or any is a time, but particularly this is a good time for things to be forgiven and cleansed and transformed. Family issues, emotional issues, bitterness, deep wounds and hurts. He is able to completely save those who draw. Completely means God can transform our characters totally. You say, can you be perfect? You can be perfect in a measure. You can be more like him than we used to be. And we need to engage all the resources that are available. First, of course, confession to God and searching the word privately, but confession to people and mentors and sozo and life battle and men's life model, excuse me, and men's group and marriage helps and all the resources that are available that Yeshua will be real in our lives. This is what we are about, that we would be living totally, living, he's always living to make intercession for us. So that's the first part of the vision of the congregation, covenantal identity in Messiah. It's not just in Messiah cerebrally, but it's in Messiah in terms of people will look on us and say, there's something different about your life, besides the fact that we're all a little odd to begin with, but other than that, that just applies to me, not to you. But yes, thank you. But anyhow, something different about your life. There's a sweet aroma of godliness about you. So that's the first thing. The second thing about covenantal identity is the Jewish people, not replacement, that we believe that the Jews and people of the nations are one in Messiah. We're one. We're united. The Jews didn't go out of existence and assimilate into the faith, into the new covenant community, but there is still a distinct Jewish people and Jews, and God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and then he says to everybody else, I'll bless them that bless you. So Jews and the nations, one in Messiah, and expressed through art and expressed through this building. And some of you inquired, or one more have inquired about our logo out front. It is in process. Soon we'll have our beautiful stainless steel logo of the burning bush structure. And anyhow, but that's all part of our covenantal expression and the restoration to Torah lifestyle. And that's the liturgy and the holidays and the dance and the Shabbat and the food and all that we do. And then the third part of the vision of this congregation, fourth part of the vision of this congregation is restoration, survival of the nation of Israel. And I don't think I should expand on it a lot now, but the theme for Tirosh, I'm the Tirosh leader this Tuesday, will be the very dreadful prospect of the conference, the Paris conference that's coming up on the 15th of January. That won't be one last blast against Israel before the current administration goes out. But anyhow, that restoration and survival of the nation of Israel is part of the vision of this congregation. It's all about covenantal identity. So Jewish believers don't assimilate. And quoting Romans 11:15 says, for if they're casting Yeshua aside, means reconciliation for the world, that is, in the early days of the faith, when not all Jews rejected Yeshua, but the majority did and the leadership did. But God used that failure to bring reconciliation for the world. What will their accepting him mean? It will be life from the dead. I want to say this, as we are successful in sharing the reality of Messiah with Jewish people and people of the nations, but it says 10 men of the nations will take hold of the tzitzit of him that's a Jew and say, we'll go with you. So typically in Jewish work, Jewish people get saved and 10 people from the nations get saved. There's a huge overflow. If we are successful in Jewish work, it will mean life from the dead to all the nations. Amen. I believe what we are doing is central to every ill of society. There's spin-off effects of Jewish revival, life from the dead. We're doing, I don't want to say the most important work, there's a lot of people doing important work, but the Jewish salvation is key, because it's only when Jerusalem, when saved people in Jerusalem say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, that Yeshua will return. And how many Jewish people it will take to cross that threshold of inviting him back, we don't know. Marty Wolman said, he's the rabbi and one of the rabbis in Dallas, he said, there's like a tipping point. At a certain point, God will say, okay, my people are calling me back. It's time to come. And that amazing story that was read about the people, his brothers hearing Joseph say, Ani Yosef. The Jewish people, all the Jewish people, will see Yeshua on the Mount of Olives, see Yeshua appearing, see Yeshua rescue them in battle, and he'll say, Ani Yeshua, I am Yeshua, I'm the Messiah that was here. You're back, really? And they'll be astonished, just like the brothers were astonished at the revelation of Yosef, but the revelation of Yeshua will be life from the dead to the whole world. What we're doing is crucial, life from the dead. Now, so the Stockdale paradox is faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose. It's not a sanguine, oh, everything's going to be great. Everything may not be great. Sometimes we make our best efforts and have our best prayer. Things get worse. You ever have that happen to you? You make your best efforts and things get worse immediately. That's not because you're defeated. That's just because you need to keep exercising your faith. If Admiral Stockdale could bear it up, then we can, with the power of the Ruach. We can bear, we can persevere, we can go forward. God's calling us. Now, at the rabbi's conference, there was a little buzzword that got passed around. It was called, Make Messianic Judaism Great Again. Anybody ever heard that phrase? It goes along with this, you know. Now, Messianic Judaism, you got to understand, started in the time of Yeshua, but it's gone through ebbs and flows and ebbs and flows. But a modern Messianic movement started as a revival movement among thousands of youth, Jewish and Gentile youth in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. People came in and they were pioneers. Chalutzim is the Hebrew word for pioneers. They were warriors. We were warriors. Took me a while to kind of affiliate, but I got saved in that time frame. And it was radical that we found Messiah. We found Yeshua. Now, there is something actually happening that may, in fact, make, seriously, Messianic Judaism great again. And in order to do it, in order to tell you about it, I have to do a little bit of kind of name dropping of our leaders, most of which you know, but some of them I'll just still say, who is that? And you'll meet them eventually. You can take my word for it. You can look it up if you get the notes. But this gentleman here is named Jeff Bernstein, J.B. I don't know what B stands for, but anyhow, Jeff Bernstein goes by J.B. He actually spoke, not in this building, but in the other building some years ago, and he is an amazing evangelist. You know, there's a model in the book of Ephesians of leadership, and it says that there's five parts of leadership. Apostle, which you can sort of translate as shaliach, but apostle is a breakthrough guy. It's a guy that can just figure out and get and receive from God wisdom as how to do stuff that, how to boldly go where no one's ever gone before. Heard that line? Anyhow, an apostle is a breakthrough guy that can take you where you've never gone, take a movement where it's never gone before. Apostles, prophets, people who speak just prophetically in the Spirit to guide a group. And then there's evangelists, people who specialize in outreach and winning people to Yeshua. And we don't really have mivaser, I guess would be the Hebrew equivalent if you wanted a Hebrew term to it. But evangelist, then pastor and teacher. Jeff Bernstein has the gift of evangelism in an amazing way. He has had it all his life. He's had ministry in Almaty, Kazakhstan for a number of years, and now he's working really around the world, but primarily in the States. And Dan Juster, who many of you may know, but he says, I've known Jeff Bernstein for over 30 years, and I know of no one who shares a deeper passion for our people, the Jewish people, to come to a saving relationship to the Messiah Yeshua. Now, Dan Juster, if you know who he is, he's one of the leading theologians and spokesmen for the Messianic movement, written many powerful and profound books. And to go on with his endorsement of Jeff, JB's understanding of our people and how to communicate the message of Messiah with them is brilliant. He's very perceptive at effective outreach. So, what I'm about to say, I'd kind of like you to fasten your spiritual seatbelts for what comes next, because what comes next is pretty amazing and could be disruptive to the congregation. So, I want to introduce it here, and then we'll expand it over time. Amazing things are happening through Jeff Bernstein. Up to 5 Jewish salvations per day. Do you hear that? 5 Jewish salvations per day at Rabbi Judah Hungerman's congregation in Sarasota, Florida. But that many, that big of an influx of new people coming to faith, they found they couldn't disciple, they couldn't train, they couldn't assimilate the people well enough into the congregation. So Stuart Winograd, who most of you know. He serves on the board of directors, accountability guy for me. He's working with them and developing it. Now, it's not just in Sarasota, but it's in other places too. And Stuart actually is in the role. I don't know that I've explained this very often, but every now and then I should. He's really what you could call the apostolic covering of our congregation. He's, if you take that fivefold model from the book of Ephesians, and I want to fit into those kind of models because we want to be a biblical congregation, he's the breakthrough guy. His work in Minsk, Belarus, where David is from, where's David? Somewhere here, back there. Okay. Anyhow, David, who played violin for us and we love, he's from there. It's just a breakthrough. It's about actually five congregations. He started there and worked with Holocaust survivors. And now he's working also, that is Stuart's organization, is working also in the Himalayas with Israeli Trekkies. And so he knows Bernstein well for many years. He's willing to help us as he's willing to help the work in Sarasota guide this kind of breakthrough into our community. So it's not overwhelming to us and it's not unstable. And we are looking forward to that happening. So Stuart is willing to work this with Bernstein. I had a long phone conversation with Jeff on Wednesday or Thursday afternoon. Well, I was getting a suntan Wednesday afternoon. I just thought I'd throw that in. Anyhow, yes. What happened to it? It didn't take too much. But anyhow, it was nice. So Jonathan Burness is connected to Judah Hungerman's also, and Peter and Ginny Vanderster, Peter's back there. Peter, would you stand up? Peter's been involved in this kind of outreach for basically all his life, and he's helping develop discipleship materials. We have some stuff, but we're getting more stuff. Spoke to Jeff extensively by phone. I believe, I'm trusting God that great breakthrough things are coming. We are not just here to barely survive. Now, we're doing more than barely surviving. We're in a beautiful facility, and we dance, and we celebrate. But I want to see, and I'm sure you want to see, our people reached for Messiah. How many want to see our people reached for Messiah? Hallelujah. So, just to close, and we're done with the worship team, come back up. And I'm done early for the first time in my life. I've ever been done this early. So we'll have a little time to worship. But what we want to do is, and could the worship, the well, we're not quite ready for the prayer ministers. We'll call you up in a bit. But what I want to do is I want to actually, this is one of our last screens, make Messianic Judaism great again. It started as a revival movement. It's meant to be a revival movement. You know, we're aware at the Rabbis Conference, we're seeing some new younger faces, next generation faces, but a lot of us were seeing the same faces, and what used to be dark hair and beards is gray hair, if any. And you wonder about that, you worry about that. But I believe God's going to do great things, and we are working to bring Jewish people and those grafted into their covenantal identity in Messiah. So, as Matityahu, as we read a couple of weeks ago, the founder of the Maccabean Rebellion, and yeah, would the worship team come up? We are ready for you guys. As the founder of the Maccabean Rebellion proclaimed, he that is for God and for the covenant, follow me. And follow me in the sense as I follow him. I believe we have great things before us in God. If our hearts are open for personal renewal, revival, restoration, growth. Five salvations a day is a staggering number. Well, if we have one or two a year, we feel wonderful. But five salvations. But God is going to do wonderful things as we seek him. So let's stand. I'm going to pray while the team comes up. We just want to dedicate ourselves and have an inventory of ourselves, examine our hearts. So Heavenly Father, I thank you that on this cold day, we have the warmth of this beautiful sanctuary, we have the warmth of fellowship with one another, we have the comfort of your love, we have the reality that we have a vision. We have a vision. We think of the story of Admiral Stockdale and the tortures he faced, but he knew what the truth was. He knew what would prevail. He knew that communism was false and it was a demonic evil ideology, and he knew that the truth would prevail. And we know that Yeshua understood that truth would prevail as he was facing the execution stake and facing his death. And we are invited into that same reality. Father, examine all of our hearts. Examine our hearts to see what wicked way is in there, and that we might enter into life eternal. Examine our hearts and lives, and help us to walk in purity, walk in strength, walk in righteousness, walk in holiness, walk in Messiah likeness in our relationships, in our homes, in our innermost thought life, in our innermost being, to be like you, to express you to the nation, to the Jewish people and the nations. Help us to be instruments of bringing your salvation. Amen.